You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.
What happened?
I'm confused.
I think we lost her. And we lost Dave.
Yep. And I don't hear Sam.
Nope.
Well, China.
Okay, we are, this is LA Live Radio, Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, and we are here with Derek. How are you doing, Derek?
I'm not too bad. How about yourself, China?
Hey, this is LA Live Radio, Jenny's Real Talk on the Block. We're here with Derek Webb. Hi, Derek. How's it going?
Oh, not too bad. How about yourself, China?
You know, it's going really good. I don't know about you guys' weather there, but this has been like summer weather.
I was going to say, fabulous. On the East Coast, it's, we get that fall thing coming in, but honestly, it's been actually a beautiful. It's almost like an Indian weather kind of thing. Not been too cold, but it's actually been more of a half. It's been in the mid to upper 70s lately here, which is very surprising for the New England weather. For usually this time of the year, 50s and 60s even lower. So.
Oh wow! So you guys get like really cold weather up there?
Oh yeah, during the winter or fall months, usually it starts cooling down around mid October. Then by usually early mid-November, the cooler weather really starts kicking in, and then that's when it all goes into cool air. But so far, knock on wood, we're going to mid-October, and we've been in the running in the mid to upper 70s. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm okay. In Allentown. Same stuff. It's usually cold at this time, but now it's really, really nice. I'm really happy about it because, you know, I'm just basically wearing a sweater, you know?
Hey, who can right? Nice, beautiful time to wear that little, show off that beautiful sweater you just got and just walk around flaunting what you're.
How about it?
Look at me.
Look at me, my sweater.
I got a kitty cat on the front, and that's better than yours, man.
Yeah. No. Oh, I think Jen's coming back. Somebody's trying to come in. Anyway, so what you got going on, Derek, what you got going on new?
Currently new, I actually just recently I landed a film role, which I'm planning to announce on my social media platforms between now and sometime tomorrow evening. Because of the film director didn't want me introducing too much right now. He said leave it hush hush because of NDA reasonings and legality reasonings.
Yeah.
I can't say much, unfortunately, due to per order of the producer and director, but. Right. In the morning, I'll be a film which I'm very excited about. And also between me and Jen, working on another major project that hopefully should be unveiling to people by later this week, end of this week, which is going to be an exciting announcement to say the least. But
cool.
A lot going on, but unfortunately, the two announcements I have going on, I can't say much about until people on the other end of the entertainment industry give me the green light to say anything.
Unfortunately. Right. Yeah. So yeah, mum's the word. Well, I'm excited to hear what you got going on, you know.
Oh yeah.
But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh yeah, no, most definitely. I'm just waiting to get that big green light from people to just, all right, man, start your announcing. So I realized, especially in the entertainment industry, there's a lot of you get that eager excitement to want to announce what you got going, and then
of course
sometimes you run into those high mighty people that are just like, no, don't say a thing yet, don't say
anything. Put you down. Yeah.
Yeah, I know you're excited, you want to tell people, but just don't say anything because of legal reasonings, and you just signed a non-disclosure form and you can't say this again. Wait for us to get a green light. But I should have green lights to be saying everything between now and by the end of this week. So,
well, yeah, at some point you're going to have to, right? Jennifer!
You're back. Where's the guest?
We see you. Yeah, we can hear you.
I can hear you, Jen.
I can't hear
you. You can't hear us? Oh, Dave is Hello. Back.
Made it.
You see me?
Yeah. No, I don't think Jennifer can hear us. Anyway, thank you, Dave, for coming on the show. We appreciate it. What do you got going on right now?
Man, I got a lot going on, actually.
Yeah? Spill it.
Ever since filming the shows, I've been pretty involved in business, sports memorabilia businesses. So business is great. Business is so good that we actually have a show that we're filming in November and January that'll be coming out in the spring. Can't talk about like network or whatnot, but it'll be about sports memorabilia and hunting down treasures and things like that. So it's me and a couple other guys from my company. So that'll be pretty good. There was just a big VH1 reunion the other day that I actually was not part of because I'm in contract for this show. But business is good. I've got three kids. I've been married for about, 10 plus years. Finally met, the one I was going after all those times. And, business is good. Business is good. I got a bunch of rental properties, so I'm doing that, selling sports memorabilia. Just having fun, just enjoying life, trying to stay young and go out and party still as much as I can as well.
Dad.
What's up? I'm back. Holy shit. This has been a really fucked up situation. Apologize, dude. I was really looking forward to your interview today, too. I was like, oh my God, is everybody everything just better be going right today?
All good.
I feel like I know you really well, dude, just watching all your stuff. Oh my God. I know I have so many questions for you, dude. Like, first of all, let's give a really great, introduction to this. Dave Amerman, better known as 12-Pack on reality television. For any of you out there that watch, like, VH1 shows, you're going to best know him as 12-Pack. And he's been on anything you can think of, from I Love New York to I Love Money to Daisy of Love. And some of the stuff you've said or done on those shows was just crazy. Sometimes I want to ask you, like, what did you feel in that moment? What were you thinking in that moment?
Obviously, dude, you're not thinking as much, back then.
Right, that's very true. You don't look a day older, dude. You really don't. You look the same as, I don't know. 14 years ago?
Yeah, about that. 14. I think we filmed I Love New York like 15 years ago, almost to the date. It was in October when we filmed it in 2006. So 15 years ago to the date. I was 23. I was a senior in college. So obviously do the math, now. But I'm still working out. I'm trying to eat. I'm eating healthy. I'm a laid back guy, so I'm hopefully not a lot of stress, keeping, even though I have three kids, all the way from middle school down to 9 months old. So they keep me busy. But, my wife's a Southern girl, so she takes care of the kids. And my brother-in-law takes care of some of the family biz and the property rentals. So, pretty good thing going on.
That's awesome. I mean, I'm glad that things have you know, since you've been doing all the, you know, all that. I mean, that's reality television, and a lot of people don't seem to understand it's not real necessarily all the time. You know what I mean? A lot of it's scripted and staged, and you know, so I know that sometimes when people go a little nuts on these shows, they might not actually be like that in real life. And people need to understand that there's a difference between what you're doing on television and maybe how you are, you know, outside of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a pretty
mellow guy. You
always
seem like a really laid back guy on the shows too.
Yeah,
you always seem really mellow. I mean, I was totally, dude, I was passively rooting for you at the end of Daisy of Love. I was like, pick Dave!
I was close. You know, we obviously just didn't have that. If we didn't have that extra spark, you know, it just wasn't meant to be, you know, unfortunately.
You were meant to be who you are with now.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
What's that? I'm supposed to be where I'm at. I mean,
you're definitely meant to be with who you are with now. It's
of course. And you know what's crazy? I met her after I filmed Daisy of Love, but before it aired. So we were together get to the finals and compete for Daisy. So imagine that. So she's obviously thick-skinned, and you know, we were both at the same point in our life, not looking for a relationship, just kind of having fun, and just kind of worked out. And we're still doing the same thing, obviously, you know, three kids and in a relationship and married, but you know, I mean, just it's never been my past.
Well, did you have any stalkers on the show? I mean, when you're on the show,
I still get like a Facebook message from a guy in like LA once, maybe every month, with dollar signs and a load of cash, asking me if I'm coming out to do a private party. And if you look back in the thread, we're looking at 3 years of like non-responded to messages.
Wow.
And that's, you know, I mean, I get things like that. Believe it or not, any stalkers or really any, you know, I wouldn't call them stalkers, but just any people that would kind of hit you up a little bit over the top. I have no problem if a guy sends me a heart or just whatever, right? Like, you know, likes a photo, says, hey, you're looking fine, DILF, whatever you want to say, like, all good.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they start like hitting up the DMs and then obsessively then trying to call you from like Instagram or, you know, like, it's just now it's like, come on.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Like, middle of the night, like the phone, it's too easy now to, you know, get a hold of somebody.
I know.
You know, I mean, you could literally push the call button and next thing you know, some guy clicks it on the other end and he's on the phone with you. It's
how
close everyone.
Yeah. Now, I was asking you before Jennifer came on, where did the name 12-pack come from?
12-pack was given to me. I mean, obviously, I was in shape. That was my thing. I was known for my abs. I always work the abs out, even to this day. I'll do my hangs and leg ups, you know, in the garage maybe once, twice a week, rip those abs up. So that was always my thing. I didn't have a nickname, like never a nickname. Dave, Dangerous Dave. Like that was as far as we got when I was like a young wrestler, like high school kid. It didn't really have like a nickname. So when we went in, they're like, you have to have a nickname. Now, guys like Real and Chance, like that was like their street name already from I Love New York. And, you know, like, so I got named on I Love New York, the first of the shows. And everyone like kind of had names already when they came in. So my last name's Ammerman. So like 8-pack Ammerman was kind of the thought. Dangerous Dave, 8-pack Ammerman, and 98 for like 98 Degrees, Nick Lachey. Those were like the three options I had going in. And the producers were like, go with 8-pack. And I was like, that's the stupidest one. I literally said, I got mad before the show went filming. I was like, I'm not watching this if I'm going to be called 8-pack.
You're serious?
Yeah, I literally was like, that's like, not, it's not me. It's just, you know, but they were like, no, that's cool. So I went and named myself 8-pack. And then she actually changed it. And she actually called it 12-pack. And I was like, okay, so at least now, like, you know, I didn't name myself that. Like, I'm not like this pompous guy who like named himself 8-pack. So now, like, she called me 12-pack. It's like, okay, now I can roll with that because,
yeah.
So, you know, like, and that's been it. I kind of stuck with that. I can't, I see people nowadays and, you know, I don't sit there and like, hey, you don't remember me. I was never like that. But, you know, we're having some drinks out, a place talking to somebody, and it'll come up. And as soon as 12-pack, then it hits, then they start thinking like it's such a recognizable name and the whole, you know, thing. They'll know the name and then it'll like come back to them. I could be with them for 30 minutes when it finally hits, you know, because we're talking 15 years now, or at least, you know, for my first one. But
I saw you were hanging out with Steve Aoki not long ago. I don't know how long ago those pictures were, but I saw you had some pictures with Steve Aoki, the famous DJ.
Yeah, so I mean, I was actually a DJ myself. That's what I did after the. Okay. I was always into DJing. I wasn't like a Steve Aoki level DJ, but once the shows came out, I was DJ 12 pack, and you know they would book me for DJing, and you know I mean I had fun with it. But I actually work with Steve regularly. Steve's a big collector. He collects all sorts of sports cards, sports memorabilia. I run a sports memorabilia auction house, so I help Steve find things that he's looking for. I help Steve sell stuff. Like we sold his All-Star Game items that he wore at the All-Star Game. So Steve and I, we do a lot. I mean, we talk almost every day. We, you know, I help him buy things out of our auction, at least kind of, you know, what he's looking for. And I'll help him get in there and bid too at night. If he's got a DJ, he can't be in there bidding. You know, and when he's around, I'll go out, bring the wife, and we'll rage out in Aoki's booth, have some, you know, dinner or whatever. And yeah,
make so a night
always,
of it.
Always a good night. You know, it's pretty cool. And he'll have he rolls around with who you never know. You know, like you hang out with Steve one night and then you're sitting next to a guy who owns a nightclub, a guy across is a rapper who's in an album. You know, like you just
to live
you
too know. Far from.
He's living the life, huh?
You live in New Jersey, so what he probably does like the Atlantic City thing.
Exactly. See, I'm from North Jersey, New York City area. New York City was always where I went to hang out. You know, that was actually, I think he's going to be a marquee on on Halloween in New York City. I'm not going to make it. I'll be trick-or-treating, even though the wife was like, hey, you know what? Maybe when we're done trick-or-treating, I was like, that's the spirit. You know, it's a Sunday. I got to probably work the next day. But yeah, so he'll come to AC or even in Philly, even though Philly is not like known, there's a couple spots, you know, that guys will come out for. But AC is my spot around here. It's like 45 minutes away, one road, easy, you know, and obviously you can stay in the hotel after so you don't have to like look for a spot. You know, it's like you don't have to drive around and AC is awesome.
Yeah.
Did you ever film in some really interesting places? Like, you know, like the shows, I know.
Basically, her question was, did you ever film in any awesome, like, you know, cool places that you can remember?
Locales?
Well, most of the shows are in L.A. in, like, a nice big old mansion out there. But I Love Money was in Huatulco, Mexico, which is, like, way down south Mexico. We filmed in, like, February because my birthday was actually while we were filming. Mid-February, the coldest. My birthday is like always the coldest day of the year, mid-February, and we were in 85 degree and humid weather down in Mexico. But like that was a trip for me because I'm not like a tour the world kind of guy. Like I'll go to wherever in the U.S. pretty regularly, but when it comes to Europe or leaving the country, I think my passport expired. Like that's how often I get out of the country.
Yeah,
and actually I think I got my passport on. I left New York before we might have to travel. We had to go into like the office while we're on the show and apply for it. I still got my photo. I don't have it on me. I have my photo from 06 on the passport.
What episode was that you went to Mexico? What episode was that?
So
I think they were down there for the whole thing.
So that was going it was supposed to be for like the finale of I Love New York. And there was five guys. So we didn't know. So we all went and got them, but I never made it down there on I Love New York. I made it finish fifth. My ex came on the show and ruined it for me there.
I remember that.
Yeah. I mean, I pretty much had a girlfriend when I left for the show. I already got called out on it. Like it wasn't going anywhere good.
Remember Romance called you out on that, like in like the second episode or some shit. He was all like, hey, New York. He says, Dave Twilpack was saying he had a girlfriend. You remember because he was all sucking up to New York and shit. Like, shut up, you pansy. He kept crying about his goddamn dog dying and a bunch of other shit. I'm like, dude, you're not going to women a woman sound like a pussy. I mean, I'm okay with sensitive dudes that. That are sensitive, you know. I don't get a little, you know, you ain't a total asshole, okay? That's cool, but at the same time, like, don't call a guy out. Snitches end up in ditches, bitches. Nobody wants to hear that shit. And what kind of woman, especially in New York, is gonna want a goddamn fucking snitching ass bitch?
Exactly. And you know, unless the producers were like, hey, you know, you should go call him out on this or something, which, you know, look, if that's the case, I never got to hear him out on that, and you know, I never will probably. But he'll hit me up like once a year, like, do you want to do like a pro wrestling event? Everyone's waiting to see us like wrestle. And I'm thinking to myself, like, no, like I am not like looking to wrestle.
I'd rather see you and Flex and like What was that dude? The trucker dude on
Big Rig. Yeah, there's plenty
of Big Rig, dude.
Me and Tango, although Tango and I are both like old and injured, it would be like kind of a sad match. Our shoulders are messed up. We'd be like, you know, holding our shoulders and hitting each other. But
I remember Cage with all the tattoos and shit. You know.
Yeah, I mean, he was supposed to be an MMA guy. Didn't make it to the MMA round, so it would have been him and Big Rig, and then maybe I could have beat up on a non-pro MMA guy.
I know. Big Rig was brutal in the fucking ring. I was like, shit, Dave, go, Dave. Kick his ass, Dave.
You know, he was just like actively training and actively fighting, and there's a big difference when like you're not doing anything and drinking.
I mean, you're a jack.
Yeah, I was lifting, and I've coached wrestling, and I've done it.
But this dog, Dave Batista kind of shit. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, but when you do it,
I'm like, poor Daisy.
You're so flat-footed. You have to understand, like, when you do wrestling and stuff, like, when you're quick and you're training, when you're flat-footed, you're tired, like, and I gassed out in, like, 2.5 minutes. So, like, just the lack of training, I was drinking all week. That little difference, you know, was a difference in a match, really. So just having a couple practices, and in my mind, he'd been training for the last couple of years. He was just on a show where they lived in the house and trained to fight. You know, I mean, and he's going to the gym regularly. So give me, like, a month. 2 weeks to like sharpen up a little bit and go in the house and know that that's going to happen. Totally different fight there.
Cold turkey, no liquor, right?
I reversed him. I got on top. I was throwing punches down. I was thinking in my mind, like, this guy's a pro fighter and I'm going to win this fight. Like, you know, I was on top in a dominant position. He ended up getting a nice reversal at the end, but he finished the fight with illegal punches. So technically it was a no contest in my mind, but you know, it's TV. So whatever.
Yeah.
You got any questions you want to ask there, Derek? Because I know you watch these shows, so you know who 12-Pack is. We talked about this. Where'd he go? And he disappeared.
He's gone.
Damn. And I know we had a lot of questions, too. He'll be
okay,
gone.
I'm impressed.
He didn't hit the button. Sorry. Okay, well, you'll be back. Anyway. There he is.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Go ahead and ask some questions there, Derek.
One thing I noticed on the I Love New York episode, I was curious. I saw you getting punched in the abs for your 12-pack abs there. How did that feel? You know what I mean? Did you actually feel that? Or?
No, that was my thing. You know, that was like the Harry Houdini move, like where you have people come up and just hit you in the stomach. You know, but that was actually a technique there because, you know, what happened was we killed a bee. These bees were coming at us. We were grilling and we were drinking Patron. We killed
the bee.
You drank
a bee.
I put the bee in hot, so I drank it. It was still like twitching. So the punch was just trying to, you know, finish the bee off a little bit. I don't think it made it.
He did too.
That's too funny.
That move is like the move that you do where you have this opportunity going to show and you screw it up by doing something totally stupid and like, you know, how your stomach's jacked up and you end up getting like kicked off day three. Like that move could have gotten you there very easily.
I loved it when you do the backflip into the fucking pool. And she was like, oh, look at that. I finally get to see something. He's like, baby, it's keto. All right.
How long were you on the show for?
You're only there for you know, like a couple of days an episode. So, but you live there the whole time, no cell phones, no nothing. So, you know, each show is like 2-3 weeks long, but you're like no outside world contact.
I got the stats on this, Dave. Okay, so I Love New York. It says you lasted 9 episodes, so you're like to the end, you know, which is awesome. I Love Money made 7 episodes, which is awesome. Not everybody gets that. A lot of people get jacked off in the first. Oh, sorry, it didn't sound. Oh, and a lot of people get thrown off the show in the first episode or two. And then Daisy, I Love, you made it all the way pretty much to the end, 12 episodes. So I was rooting for you, dude. I mean, not that Flex. Flex was a nice guy. I mean, I'm not saying nothing. And London, fuck London. He was an asshole. And they shouldn't have brought his fucking pansy ass back with his stupid goddamn fucking mohawk and his goddamn fucking stupid tats and his punk rock band. And fuck you, London. I'm sorry.
Did you hate him as much as she does?
Calling Team Dave. I was like, Team Dave. Team 12-Pack. That episode you did with Daisy in the fucking sex shop was so fucking hot. I almost creamed myself. I am just saying, Dave, that was hot as fuck. You're in those little leather fucking underwear with the riding crop and shit. I was like, fuck yes, this is gonna go get good real fast.
I still got the undies, and I'm still rake some cheese over my abs, you know.
Legal porn. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
What are the questions you got, Dave? I mean, Derek.
Go for it, Derek.
Well, no, Dave. What was it like actually on these shows like VH1 and I Like New York and I Like Daisy and all that? What was it like competing against other individuals for that top?
Good question.
Was there like a lot of hostility in the household? Like a lot of.
Well, you know, for me, luckily I'm not like the littler guy in the group. You know, like there was only a couple of, like you got to cast different guys. So I was usually like the bigger, muscular guy. So for me, looking around, I was probably more intimidating than like to be the intimidated one. You know, I wasn't like Mr. Boston who's like, "What am I doing here? I'm going to get beat up." I'm confident in. I was a wrestler, you know, so for me in that setting, I get along with everybody too. Like it felt like a frat party the whole time. Like we were all buddy, kumbaya, rah rah, Sister Patterson would say, you know, it was, we were all cool. I mean, I had a great time. I had a blast. And this, every time I did it after, it was even better.
Wow.
Sister Patterson, scary woman. But remember the first episode of Daisy of Love, those three, the triplets? From like Sweden or some fucking shit, all got thrown off like the first episode. They jacked a bunch of food out of the refrigerator and drinks and shit before they vamoosed. They're like, oh, we're gonna get our moment in the sun. I'm gonna get some food. They like literally walked off with shitloads of food and drinks and shit. I'm like, what in the fuck?
I gotta look. For
well, we're here for one episode. I might as well get my whole. You know, 9 weeks worth of food right up front. You know, I'm just laughing like, "Are you shitting me?" And Dave's over here going like,
"You're just trying to figure out where that was going to go, right? Like, these are three triplets that are look like they literally like hook up with each other. You know, you either half male, half female. You don't even know." And you're like, okay, if they make it down far, like, what is going to happen here? Like, they're going to end up hooking up with a contestant, like, with each other, you know, I don't know. So, luckily, they got out of there quickly, because if they stayed, it would have gotten, like, people just would have been confused, you know? I mean, honestly.
There are threesome all by themselves. They didn't even need Daisy. They had their own little, and they look kind of feminine, so I didn't know what fucking was going on there, you know? But, hey. Brotherly love.
Yeah,
it made a good show though, right?
Oh my god, yeah, they're like really identical. It's wow. A weird situation. They're identical. They're not from the country. They look exactly. You couldn't tell them apart. Okay, so
I get a good question for you, Dave. From I Love Money, you hooked up with Heather Chadwell and Megan Hauserman, which were from Rock of Love, and. What was that like? Heather is fucking badass, first of all. I love Heather. Megan, I could do without Megan. But Heather is a badass motherfucker. Stripper from Vegas. I mean, that woman rocks. I would love to meet her in person. I would have a really good fucking time with her. I know I would. You know. And I would want to put my head in between her boobs and go, you know. That's just me. You know?
Yeah, no. That's kind of what that's the way I saw it as well. So it worked out, you know?
Right. Who wouldn't want to do that? It's fucking Heather. Lacey.
Yeah.
Oh God. Lacey's crazy. I saw you did an interview with Lacey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I seen that.
Yeah. Lacey and I are cool. She's trying to do a lot of things and with the old cast members and, you know, we've connected. She's real easy to work with and she's, you know, if I hit her up for anything, she always gets back to me. And, you know, a lot of these people on these shows or anything, you know, you hit them up and you never hear from them or they're going to do something and they're not there with the time they're supposed to be there. As you, I'm sure, know, you know, with doing interviews or different podcasts. So Lacey's always been down for whatever and vice versa. So we have a, you know, good line of communication. She reached out to me way early in her, you know, her, she has the new streaming network now. And, you know, we talk about me getting involved in projects, even on the investment side long, you know, years ago. So we've, you know, we've had a good relationship, more so than I ever thought. Cause like from watching the shows, I would have thought, wow, Lacey's like not, you know, she's a little rough around the edges, but she's like the sweetest girl, you know, and she just did that.
Nice.
You know, she did that reunion that I couldn't be a part of. And, you know, I mean, I signed, like, I'm not allowed to talk about, but I do it even, you know, but they've been promoting it all over. So it'll come out soon. And that's things that I couldn't be a part, because, you know, Daisy even showed up and a bunch of other people. I would have loved to just be there. You know, it would have just been cool to say hi. So that's things, you know, for me, but big things to come, you know. Hopefully come March, you guys will be able to sit there on your TV and click a button anytime you want to watch me, you know, or the program that we're on. Hopefully it'll be a big hit, and, you know, it's a pretty big network.
You should have gotten your own, I think you should have gotten your own, like, spinoff. Like, you should have had your own, like, reality TV show where you were the star and a bunch of bitches were competing to get with you. I'm just saying, I think that would have been hot. You know, I would like to see where you would come up with for the females. You know what I mean? I think you would have gotten better females than Bret Michaels, in my opinion. Or well, I think you should have better females than even Bret Michaels. I mean, I'm just saying.
Or comparable, but definitely better than, like, Frank the Entertainer. I mean, in terms of, like, the female cast, you know, very weird, you know, thing. And for me, I would have seen, like, nightclubs, DJing, like a DJ theme, you know, like a muscly, you know, like almost stripper type girl, you know, type setting where it's like more the club girl, you know, something like that, where I think, yeah, right, it would have been that rock and roll thing. It would have been.
Why didn't you pitch it to the networks?
No, they wrote it. They wrote it for me.
Okay.
They wrote it for me. They came to me with it. And when that guy who ended up winning Megan Wants a Millionaire and winning I Love Money ended up killing his girlfriend, chopping her up and putting her in a suitcase, they cut those off the air, and then they're like, we can't go out and get another cast of people. So they stopped doing them, and they switched the format from these dates. That was the last dating show you'll really see out there. They switched the format, and now it's like Love and Hip Hop, or, you know, whatever, just real, like, you know, like everyone screened that's on it, and they know, like, you know, Ray J, like they know the characters. They're not going to run into some crazy 20 cast member person that suddenly goes off the deep end. So they wanted to keep it, like, tighter, you know, casts and just more specific. So they stopped doing, like, almost like the competition contest shows on VH1 altogether. When was the last time you saw a show on VH1 where it was like random cast and not like, you know, celebrity ab or, like, you know, like people that have done these shows before?
Daisy of Love, basically, like Daisy of Love 2009, when that aired. I think that was, like, the last thing I saw, like, you know, Rock of Love, 3 seasons, and Daisy of Love, 1 season, which I thought it should have gone on for more seasons than just that. But a lot of people don't know who Daisy is from Daisy of Love. If you don't know who she is, you need to check her out, because she's an amazing musician. She has a band. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but really amazing sound, and they're here in L.A., She is Oscar De La Hoya's niece.
Oh.
Daisy De La Hoya. You didn't fucking know. Check that woman out. Her music is incredible. She just looks beautiful. She looks like she, I don't know. I just think she's a great person. And I would be friends with somebody like her. She's a really sweet type person. You know what I mean? Like a... I hate these stars who think that they're better than everybody else and try to, like, you need to stay grounded. I mean, when I see fans, when I'm out and about, like in LA and shit, like, you know, you can't be all snooty and be a dickbag about it. No. Like, hey, oh, thank you so much, you know, for listening or watching.
Yeah, no, I agree with
whatever the fuck, and, you know, and you're like, I'm always at concerts, constantly out and about doing PDF or Sony and for other, you know, organizations like iHeartRadio and LA Talk Radio, obviously. And you have to stay humble is the biggest part. You know what I mean? Don't get too big for your britches.
Amen.
And I'm saying Derek, because Derek is the big time actor. He's like our next celebrity down from Dave. Dave Amerman and then Derek Webb. And then
he's like, back it out here. Well, that's there.
He's got all kinds of movies coming out. He's in the new Halloween movie.
Woo!
There we go.
Curtis and all that. I'm very excited. Susan Johnson, is that her name, right? She played the original, she played the sister on the original. Was
Judith
it
Meyer?
Strode or whatever, you know.
Yeah, no, that was Sandy Johnson. She played Judith Meyer in the night. Yeah. Halloween. Yep.
Yeah, she played the original, like the sister who got killed or and whatever in the original Halloween movie. But that's badass.
Right in front of her makeup there. What a sad way to go, man. But yeah, no, that's.
But I mean, so I see now, Dave, that you're the director of Golden Auctions in New Jersey.
Cool.
And you said it's mostly sports memorabilia.
Yeah, I mean, it's a high-end auction house. We partnered with Sotheby's last year. You know, we sell high-end sports memorabilia, World Series rings, trading cards for millions of dollars. If you've seen some of these records on TMZ, most of them are ours. I even write a lot of the press releases that go to TMZ. I think we were on there, like, last week for a Lionel Messi, his, like, rec league soccer pass. You know, we always have, like, really cool items that are on there. We sold a Kobe Bryant jersey for $3.6 million. You know, we branched into comics. We just had a comic auction. But business is great. It's such a crazy business. I've always collected. When I was doing Daisy Love, I owned a sports memorabilia auction house. I was always on the phone with my guy, and we were, you know, starting up. And, you know, I shut it down in, like, 2010. And got back in the biz in like 2015. I stayed in the hobby. I just did other things for work. And, you know, it's been great. I mean, it's awesome. You know, I think this year we were like a 15-person company when I started with the company in 2019, doing about 25, 30 million a year in sales. And when you sell something in an auction, figure the auction's going to take 20, 25%, you know, from the buyer's premium, what was our part. Year to date, we've done 320 million in sales.
Wow, that's awesome.
Fuck yeah, dude.
That's awesome.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Just like I see you on television all the time. I still, just for the shits and giggles of it, I just go and watch Rock of Love, Daisy of Love, Flavor of Love, and I Love New York and shit like that. Just every now and then. Just to have a little chuckle, you know. And, of course, to see, you know, Dave. Who would want to see Dave and Speedo, you know. I'm just saying, Dave, it is what it is. Your wife is a lucky, lucky woman. And I see you have three beautiful children. Your wife is gorgeous.
What more can you ask for that?
Amanda Wyatt Emerman. Gorgeous wife, beautiful family. You have so much to be happy, you know, to be proud of. You really do. You got a great family. You've made a good life for yourself. And not all reality television stars end up like that, obviously. I mean, there was a spinoff from I Love New York called Real Chance of Love, where they had the two brothers, Kamal Chance Gibbons and Ahmad Real Gibbons, which were at a band called the Stallionaires. They were a group. And unfortunately, Real passed from colon cancer in 2015 at the age of 33.
Wow.
And I know we're on the show in season one with the brothers. And I don't know if you ever got close to them or knew them. I mean, I don't know. They real
Do you remember like them?
Guy. He seemed like a real actually sweet guy. And Chance
So I met them on I Love New York. You know, we were cool. You know, when I Love New York first aired, I actually went with Kamal and Ahmad or Real. I went with them to their uncle's house. We watched the premiere together. It was me, Real and Chance and Heat, the four of us just with his uncle watching it. So we were obviously close enough to watch our premiere episode together. We didn't really, you know, we talked occasionally during the shows. We always talked about linking up, but it got crazy. I mean, you know, we became like overnight big hits where we're just busy. I mean, we really got all busy all of a sudden. They were in LA, I'm in New York, you know, we're not anywhere near each other. We appealed to slightly different audiences. So the things I would book, the events I would be at, wouldn't be like the events that he would be at. You know, it was a little bit different, audience that would book us. And we were cool, though. And then when I came on I Love Money, he was on the show. Him and I, he would be upstairs, like, reading his Bible every night. You know, he was just a great guy. Him and me and Chance were going to the beach off camera and just look for, like, salamanders, and Chance was like a little kid. And I remember after I Love Money, actually when he got kicked off I Love Money, we came back. I'd already been eliminated. We came back and we were upstairs in the balcony, and they were doing their elimination ceremony. They didn't know we were there. The whole cast came back. We were going to vote, like, who gets eliminated. And that was when White Boy eliminated Real. And that's when Real goes to him. 12-pack would have never kicked me off. And I'm sitting there listening to all this, and he didn't know that we were in the house, like, listening. You know, and I really felt the same way. I wouldn't have kicked him off the show. I think our bond was much stronger. And I tried to explain that to him. But yeah. Anyway, after the shows, he actually proposed to Hoops, I believe, on the show or right after. You know, It was a serious proposal. I mean, he was head over heels. So, you know, we spent some time together, but he was so infatuated with her that whole show. But I remember talking to him after the show, and he told me, he said that, you know, he didn't know what was wrong with him. He passed out, you know, just randomly. He was dizzy. I went to a doctor. They said nothing was wrong that they could think of. Said it happened again. Went to another doctor. They said nothing was wrong. Explained that he, you know, after like the third time it happened, they finally went and the doctors did a final check because this has been happening to him. And, you know, that's when he got diagnosed with colon cancer. And he, you know, I remember him telling me that. And, you know, at the time I'm late 20s, you know, mid 20s. And, you know, like you hadn't really experienced people dying of cancer yet or family. I might have had like an aunt actually who had cancer. She hadn't even passed away at the time yet. And I just remember him, you know, telling me about that and just thinking, okay, like we'll get through this and, you know, hopefully we'll hang out next year. And I just remember seeing the news that he passed away and thinking like it was within a year. It was a shock because he really was he was a great dude. I mean, awesome guy.
He seemed nice.
I got his own shows. It stinks because I wish like the most success for him now, and he would be a guy that I could call anytime I'm in the area and we could connect, you know, like, and who knows where he would have been in his life. And it would have just been a great relationship and friendship that we could have had for 50 more years.
It was a real connection, right?
Yeah, it's just one of those connections where him and I were always going to be cool. It was such a good relationship. You know, when you think about, I have a friend actually that was like really close with Michael Jackson, his whole family. And I remember he was about to get on a plane to go see Michael, and Michael passed away. And he was basing the rest of his whole life on like basically like producing music with Michael and being Michael's manager. And, you know, all of a sudden all that ended real quick. And, you know, to think that anybody this could happen to, you know, it's for someone who's friendly with these type of people as well, it's a shock, you know, especially like an athlete relationship where I'm in sports management, you have a big customer, big client, and, you know, young guy, and something happens to him, you know, I mean, everything changes, you know, everything you were doing, you know, you got to go back to square one.
You know? You never know.
Right.
You never know.
Very not guaranteed, true. Not guaranteed anything. You know?
No.
Guaranteed anything in the truth. You're going to born and one day you're going to die. That's it.
Yeah. And you that's never why. Know your number. That's the thing, you know?
That's why, like, when I'm out and my buddies are out and we're all like having a few drinks at the bar, but there's like a downtown club that's open way late, and I'm always in their ear going, look, you may not live, you know, till Sunday. The whole thing could blow up tomorrow. Like, we're going to that club and you guys are staying out till 3 a.m. And it works every time, you know. So definitely a good motivator when you're drinking with your buddies and you want them to get it, come out late. Just tell them that this could be the last time ever, and they'll come.
They're
and
that's like, how I honestly he's think. Right, man.
That's why I come out with me. We'll hang like it's the last night ever.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we got to wrap up. We got 2 minutes. I'm so sorry this started late, but like you've been great. So thank you so much to Dave Amerman, aka 12 Pack from Reality Television. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Go check him out on YouTube. Check out his IMDb page. Check him out on all the TV shows that he's been on. Just go watch VH1 on like fucking Hulu or some shit. And you'll see pretty much everything this man has ever been on. Check out I Love New York, I Love Money, Daisy of Love, all of that. And go check him out at the Auction House, Golden Auctions in New Jersey. You can buy some amazing sports memorabilia from there. Thank you so much to Derek Webb, celebrity fitness trainer, and actor producer from New Hampshire. Thank you so much to China Meyer, author and screenwriter from Pennsylvania. Thank you to our guests. Thank you to everybody out there watching us today. Thank you so much, real quick, to Glenn Beer from the Universal Bar and Grill for an amazing show that we had, our concert on Saturday the 9th. We had an incredible turnout, tons of people were there. Thank you to the Paul Collins Band. Thank you to Motor Babe, the female-fronted Motorhead tribute. Thank you to Black Days, the ultimate Soundgarden tribute. And thank you so much to Black Sabbath, a female-fronted Black Sabbath tribute, for playing on Saturday night. We had a great turnout. The place was packed. I couldn't have been happier. We're going to get some more fucking dates at the beginning of the year. Dave, you and the wife are out here at the beginning of the year. You're free. Come on over. But come on out Friday, Band of Family and DMT and a bunch of other bands, Youngblood Productions, characters, and Pomona. Thank you so much for everybody watching Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, LA Talk Radio Channel 1, Spotify, Sony Music Entertainment. Till next time, peace out.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.